And then the same weekend of Comic-Con, there was actually a furry con, and it
What?
was taking place
Oh,
in the ballroom of my hotel
you
room.
told me about this. Yeah.
So I like walked out of the elevator like
Sexy
one
time.
night, I want to say like Friday night at Comic-Con, and there were just like 50 furries standing around.
Oh,
And
no.
you know there's going to be some debauchery,
Oh, jeez.
Do you feel it tingling in your loins when that happens?
Oh, no.
Rated NA episode number 80 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We all miraculously kind of made it this week through different trials that we'll talk about in a minute, but how are you guys all doing?
I'm sick.
Me
I'm doing okay.
too.
It finally caught up to me. You guys gave it to me from last week's podcast. It,
from
it
the
came it came through the headphones.
Through the headphones, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a horrible virus. So that sucks. How about you guys?
You know, New York.
Anything significant going on up there, Matt?
any hurricanes or anything?
Yeah. So, let's hear the story, man. Let's hear what happened. You wrote a pretty good. You wrote a pretty good article about surviving the storm and playing lots of board games.
Do we want to do the rundown first?
Let's do the rundown.
So up this week, we've got more news about ABC's S.H.I.E.L.D., the new show that's going to be of the Whedonverse Avengers coming out. We've got some Captain America Winter Soldier news, which is the next Captain America in the movie series. I think George Lucas did something this week. I don't remember what it was, but it was like something happened with George Lucas this week.
We'll figure it out when we get
yeah,
there.
We'll get to it. Microsoft has some possible plan Bs for their phones that we're going to talk about. And there's a new show called Startups that's causing some problems in the Silicon Valley. As for reviews, we all got Assassin's Creed 3, but only three of us managed to play it. No, that's fine. I'm the only one who didn't get to play it, I think. So, did you play it, Ash?
Nope, I have, but I haven't played it.
I added your name erroneously then. Two of us played Assassin's Creed 3.
Spoiler free.
I went and saw Wreck-It Ralph. Ash and Scott played the fourth episode of Walking Dead, and Scott played a game called PID. And then our Nequato this week was episode 7, spoiler for the George Lucas story. We'll continue the story of Luke, Han, and Leia beyond Jedi. If recast, who should play those roles?
Good question.
I bet nobody cares about that. We probably didn't get a lot of responses, right?
Yeah.
So people were freaking out.
So yeah, so the biggest storm to ever come out of the Atlantic hit this week and followed me from Florida up to New York. And I wrote a quick article about it. You know, go ahead and read it. It was just kind of like a, you know, not making light of the storm, but just this is what we did during the happening. And we got very lucky where I am, and there was very little damage and very, no flooding, essentially. There's a lot of trees down and stuff like that. And the storm honestly wasn't, from a Florida's perspective, the storm wasn't super strong, like wind or rain rise where we were. The main problem was that there was massive storm surges from the rivers and the ocean, and it pretty much just flooded everything in existence. So, yeah, my heart goes out to everything. That New York is weird as shit right now. I was telling you guys right before the podcast, there's like National Guard helicopters flying over all the time. There's an armed National Guard all over the place at different bus stops, cops everywhere. So it's weird. It is a weird moment in New York. All the trains are shut down, so you can't really get into Manhattan unless you walk.
Now, are those tunnels still flooded, like the subway tunnels?
I just read an article that said they cleared the exact trains aren't going to make a difference to you guys, but they cleared the F1, 2, and 3 line tunnels. So supposedly if they can restore power to those, they'll be back on by Monday. Which would be good for me because I have to get to work on Monday. But
So what about the thing about how you have to carpool with three people to get into the city?
Right. So
did people know about that before they got in their cars? I mean, if they had no access to power, potentially they could have no news, right?
I mean, potentially, yeah. I mean, pretty much if you can get within earshot or a lot of people are going out. Like, if their neighborhoods are up and running, have power, or even if they don't, a lot of the bars are running with generators, and people
right.
are kind of getting out of the house and seeing news elsewhere and talking to other people. So I think word about that probably got around pretty quickly. What was happening was that people were driving into work on Thursday, I think it was, or Wednesday, to go into the city to go to work because businesses were reopening. And
right.
For example, our neighbors went, Melissa was nannying for the neighbors next door all week because their nanny lives in Harlem, make it. And their upstairs neighbors tried to go into the city to go to work, and it took them 3 hours before they turned around and came back home.
Wow.
Wow.
The distance,
whoa.
To put that in perspective, was 9 blocks.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Serious. So they said they made it to Atlantic, which is like the major road that leads into the city from here. And it is literally I walk it all the time. It's 9 blocks to get to Atlantic. So 9 Brooklyn blocks, which are bigger, but still 9 blocks.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happening is no one was ready for this, so no one got gas. And lines for gas now are run by police, and they wrap around blocks and go down streets. They're gigantic. There'll be two lines. There'll be like a car line and then a people line with people that just have tanks in their hands. And both lines are gigantic and take hours to get through to get gas. Grocery stores in the areas that were flooded, I've heard, are completely empty and have not been restocked. So it's that got destroyed. The areas that got hit the worst were outer Queens, outer Brooklyn. Anything that had a shoreline on it basically got destroyed. And Jersey got destroyed. Staten Island got destroyed. So it's pretty bad. I've been through a lot of hurricanes. And I would say the most terrifying one I went through was one called Charlie in Orlando.
Yeah, I was there for Charlie, too. It was crazy.
Yeah, Charlie sounded like... So to compare for you guys, Charlie sounded like a train coming through our house when it hit. I mean, it was insane.
Wow.
It was terrifying. I was in the closet with my dog because I was like, our house could get destroyed right now. And we had huge oak trees go down all around. Scott, you remember the one that was...
Is that when you were living in the duplex and that tree on your porch fell over?
Yeah, it was... Heard a loud noise. We look out the window. We couldn't see anything. And then we shined the flashlight up and we realized we couldn't see anything because we were looking at the bottom of an oak tree. It had fallen.
Oh, wow.
Literally fallen the opposite way from falling on our house and was humongous. So... I mean, that was the most terrifying storm. This one didn't sound or feel like that at all. But when we were watching the news, what was happening is we managed to not lose power. And just utter devastation around New York. So
I can't even imagine. When I was living in Sacramento once, there was a windstorm where wind got up to about 80 miles an hour for a couple of hours. And I was like, I'll never be able to survive a hurricane. Because we lost our fences, we like lost a eucalyptus tree. I mean, wind is crazy.
I had friends.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Really mad at them, and they were like, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "You don't understand how random stuff is in hurricanes. Like, so 90 miles an hour means that, like a brick could get picked up off a house and thrown through the air and could hit you in the head for unknown reasons. Like, it's just random crap that happens in hurricanes that."
Yep.
You just shouldn't. There's just no reason to be outside. You know, just stay inside.
Yep. And
wait it out. So that being said, it is absolutely crazy. Hopefully, you know, it's gonna. The reaction to it has been pretty quick and guttural. So, you know, people I think are giving and stuff right now. And in my article, I linked a bunch of places to give. But if you haven't yet, and you feel like you want to, I highly recommend it. And go to like Red Cross or one of the big established organizations and give if you can, because people are, it's the other problem here, which is not what I'm used to in Florida, is that it's also in the 40s right now and expected to get even worse. So,
oh, wow.
Homeless, it's going to start snowing soon.
No power with snow is a really bad combination.
Bad
situation. Wow.
A lot of people, and FEMA's showing up already. They did react very quickly to the storm, so FEMA's already here, Red Cross is here. I've heard about a bunch of other insurance agencies which like prepared and were showing up. Geico was one of them, and I think Allstate was one of them. So if you can give, go to that article, it's on our site, or just go to Red Cross or any one of them, you know, whatever you feel is appropriate. The other thing I will caution, I've already seen this happen, and this is a new thing to our age, which is I've seen a lot of families who need help putting up like Indiegogos and things like Kickstarter crowdfunding kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
My caution would be if you directly know this person through a direct connection, like a friend of a friend or something, and they know that that's real, then I would say go ahead and give if you want to help, you know, family in need out that you know. If it just shows up in your Facebook timeline, you might want to do some research, because unfortunately, as shitty as it is, people tend to use these things to profit. So,
oh, wow. Yikes. That's terrible.
It used to happen in Florida. You guys remember. They would do, there'd be gas scams and fake charities that would rise up.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's just shitty, but it's the reality. So before you give away money that you mean for, you know, good causes, don't get burned. Just make, just do a little looking into it if it's not a big, big established charity like Red Cross or something. So,
well, damn,
that's my week. The actual week I had was relatively, like I said, our area didn't get hit too hard. So, you know, we played board games and watched Paranormal Activities, and it wasn't super weird.
Oh, man.
And Halloween, trick-or-treating with the neighbors next door, and, you know, there are two little kids, like 2 and 4. It was Max from Wild Thing and Elmo. Although he was evil Elmo. He would growl at everybody. That was his thing.
Nice.
That's cute.
My week was pretty uneventful. I did this weird thing where... I was away from work for about a week, so I was doing stuff for the county for about a week, which means I was out of my normal daily routine, which was kind of cool. But my first day back, I started feeling like this weird tickle in my throat. And yesterday, like by noon, I was like sweating, and I had what I refer to as the shivers. I had the shivers. Shivers. So I had the shivers, and it was like lunchtime. I was like, fuck, I'm sick. How did this happen? Because I was fine in the morning, and it just like honestly hit me like this, this ghost, like this ghost like crept inside my soul and just like possessed me with sickness. So I like ran down to the 7-Eleven and bought a whole bunch of cough drops and stuff. Have you guys ever eaten like a whole package of Halls in like an afternoon?
That does not sound good.
Maybe the Ludens. The Luden ones that taste like candy, I definitely
have.
Oh,
no.
The Halls do things to your body.
Yeah.
If you read the warning on the back of the Halls, it's like, hey, don't eat too many of those because it'll basically make your ass explode.
See, I would think it would do something to your mouth.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you've been sucking on sandpaper, but then it does stuff to your bottom as well.
Oh no!
So your I'm not gonna get into details about that. But then I'm feeling like total ass. I have the shivers. Work gets out. I like run down to my car. I sit down in my car. I have this ice cold like 20-ounce Mountain Dew that I had in my mini fridge. And I'm like, I'm gonna pop this bad boy open, and I'm gonna drive home, and I'm gonna take a shower and go to sleep. That's all I wanted to do. I open up the 20-ounce Mountain Dew, and the fucking thing explodes like a grenade. I don't know what happened. All over the car, and all over, like, literally, I would say 18 of the 20 ounces goes directly into my crotch. Like, ice cold. And I'm sitting in my car, and I can't do anything. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, and I'm already, like, have a little bit of a fever, so I have, you know, the shivers. Now there's, like, Mountain Dew all over my crotch. To tell you how drenched I was, I could literally feel the bubbles from the Mountain Dew in my butt crack. There was a horrible tingle.
That was a bad feeling.
It's a really bad feeling. And the worst part was I had like a 35-minute drive home. So I'm sitting there in this like warm, soupy Mountain Dew for like 35 minutes. And then I will never
be able to unsee that now.
Yeah. It was fucking horrible. So then I got home, and I took a shower and just laid there and wept to myself. So that was my week.
Oh, no. Man.
I worked, and then I finally got over cold number one, and then I drove up to the Bay Area in nasty gas station bathrooms, and I'm pretty sure that's where I got cold number two. Oh. So now I'm getting, like, the wave of pain. You know that feeling? Like, it's just like a wave of pain that like goes through your body. You're like, oh no, this is it.
Like an achy, like a in your bones.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's like a wave. It like starts at the very top of your head and like just moves all the way through you, bringing this like sense of dread. Like, oh no, am I gonna make this one?
Yeah,
this might be it, guys.
Oh, this might be it.
Seriously.
But that's
how about
but
you?
But I'm in Northern California. Yay! Oh,
that's good.
Jealous.
Are you in wine country?
No, I'm in the Bay Area, so I'm by San Francisco.
Good times.
Yeah.
So many trials and tribulations.
What'd you do, Scott?
I mean, I guess in comparison to everything else, I didn't really do anything.
get a major sickness or survive the worst hurricane to come off the Atlantic?
No, I just kind of had like a normal week at work where I felt like there was no time for anything. You know, it's like go to work, come home, make dinner, go to bed, get up, do it all over again, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've been trying to finish Borderlands 2. Let me ask you,
what the fuck you guys are doing? Because you've been level 34 for like a week. What are you just like sitting around talking?
No.
Just playing Assassin's Creed 3.
No. Oh, okay. So admittedly, we have been doing a lot of the badass challenges as we arrive on the different maps.
Okay.
But like the leveling, cause you know, you guys suggested, you know, because we were close to the end, you said that we should go ahead and do the, Scarlet's pirate booty, right? Mm-hmm. And, that has just been like slow, like tough sledding just to level up in that area because all those enemies are about 31 or 30. And we're at level 35, so we're getting like 30 experience, one experience for every enemy we killed. It's just, there's nothing there. There's pretty much nothing to level on right now, I guess, until we start our second playthrough.
Yeah, exactly. Everything stops right around level 30, so you guys are way above where you should
and
be.
And the loot has been terrible, to be honest with you. Like, I got more orange and purple items, like, at level 15 than we have, like, you know, in the past 10 levels, so.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating, you know?
There's something I wanted to say about Borderlands also.
Yeah.
Because I picked it back up and started playing a little, and I wasn't in love with it. Like, I realized something, though, that they made, from my opinion, I'm agreeing with Nate now, I think they made 2 a lot harder to solo than they did 1. I don't think it was even part of their plan.
With friends.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
Like, they were just like, we're just going to make this completely co-op. That's what everybody loved, but the reality is I loved playing solo, too, through the first one.
Oh.
And I think the reason being that the hunter was so perfect at soloing because you had your bird. And now all they have is 4 classes that don't have a like a extra thing. They do now with the added 5th class. But, like, you know, like, Zero is not the hunter. Like, and, you know, none of the other guys are meant to be really solo either because they get on the inside and start fighting and they get destroyed. But it's just very, it's very weird. I'm at what mission am I at? I'm on the one where you are playing for, the hunter. What's his name? I just forgot his name.
Mordecai.
And you're in the old, gun base. Which company is it?
Hyperion? Or
yeah, you're in the old Hyperion base and it's like a level 20 mission. It's not that far, probably. And you're in the old Hyperion base trying to recover Bloodwing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it gets, like, brutally hard at certain...
Yeah, that was pretty tough, that part of the game.
But with Bloodwing, like, in the old game, with Bloodwing, you could run in there and, like, if you got stuck or in a jam, you could kind of, like, fall back and send the bird in to help you clear out a little before you start moving forward again. And it just made it playable as a solo, you know? And now it's, like, it just seems unplayable. It seems like you need one other person to get through half the missions.
Yeah, I've been playing it a lot still, but I've been forced, I'm doing the Mechromancer playthrough. I've been forced to respec like a couple different times depending on what mission I'm running. Certain missions, you know, are good for AoE, certain missions are good for like a lot of melee. So I'll literally die like 5 times in a row and be like, all right, well, this spec isn't working. And I'll have to go back to Sanctuary, respec, and then go back out, which is kind of frustrating, but I don't know. I kind of enjoy the challenge. I like getting my ass kicked in games sometimes. So it was.
Yeah, I mean, by no means is the game bad. Like, let's.
Oh, absolutely.
Not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, I'm not as in love with soloing as I was through Borderlands 1. There's just parts where it seems like they instead of saying, like, oh, let's make this playable as solo, they just were like, look, you know, 99% of the people are going to co-op. Let's just worry about that. So.
Let me say one more thing before we get into the news, since we're talking about Borderlands. I picked up the Borderlands iOS game that came out on Halloween.
Yes.
And while I don't want to just say the game is flat out bad, I think I want to say that it's just not a great use of the IP, which is really disappointing.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Is it a shooter?
It's no. What it is like a top-down almost like a RTS. So you control all four of the original characters from the game.
Oh.
But you're controlling them all in real time. So you get into these maps that are just single screen maps, and like enemies sort of attack you from all sides, like horde style. And you kind of get through the waves on each map, and then you move on to the next map. And that's kind of how missions take place. And the characters, like, each character has, like, their main ability, and then they have, like, a utility that they can use to, like, buff themselves or their teammates. But, like, other than that, like, the game is, like, especially on my iPhone, the game is so... The characters are so small that I can't even really tell, like, oh, that's Mordecai, that's, you know, that's a siren, and, you know, like, if you get a gun, it's like, who cares? Like, the guns don't do anything other than, like, damage and accuracy, so they don't have, like, bonus effects that I've seen yet, at least through, like, 10 levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, while it is, like, a pretty fun game, like, this could be any game, and I think that's what I'm disappointed in. And I guess I'm also disappointed that there's no, you know, they could have very easily linked this somehow to Borderlands 2 with, like, shift codes or something by saying, like, oh, if you beat this game, you get a shift code for Borderlands 2. There's, like, so far I've seen nothing that alludes to that. No game center support, nothing. So
that sucks.
I don't really understand what happened with this.
When you said top down, I thought you were going to say it was like Smash TV, which I thought would have been cool, but I guess if it's not, then...
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it would be cool that way, except you have to control all four characters. So it goes from being an action game to more of like a, just make sure your guys are standing at the right, you know, in the right place, like using the right...
Yeah.
Weapons and abilities and stuff like that. So kind of disappointing, but I just wanted to put that out there for anyone that might be considering that game.
Cost money?
Yeah, it's $5.
Oh, I hate that, man.
So yeah. The moral of the story is to go and build a house in Skyrim.
All right, let's do the news.
News.
Okay, we're back with some Marvel television slash film news. And the first bit is just a little tiny tidbit. We said we'd be keeping you guys up to date with information about the upcoming ABC Joss Whedon S.H.I.E.L.D. series. And it turns out that it does begin filming right around the 15th of January.
Awesome.
And there is a casting call out on the internet now for, they're still in the process of casting the roles. So... But it does look like it does begin filming in January, and it's going to be filming in Los Angeles, which is pretty cool. Looks like it's going to film in LA and New York. So, Matt,
cool.
There you go. Go hang out on set and
will do take
pictures and stuff.
If I still worked for some company, I probably could.
Right. The other tiny bit of news kind of leaked out today, but Captain America Winter Soldier, which is the sequel to the Captain America Marvel film, that actually is going to come out, I believe, in 2014, so we have a little time. But the script is saying that it does involve the Black Widow and the Black Widow's relationship with Bucky, who is the Winter Soldier. So it does look like Black Widow will be in Captain America, so we're going to have a little bit of a Avengers crossover stuff going on there, which will be cool.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
It looks like Iron Man 3, Thor 2, and Captain America 2 are all going to be darker.
I know, right?
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
I mean, Marvel, they kind of put their footprint down by saying, like, look, we're the fun comic book movies, and now they're all three at the same time are all darker storylines, it seems like, at least at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the Avengers film, that big battle in New York, was a pretty brutal fight, you know?
Yeah.
That wasn't something to be taken lightly, so... Where do you go from there? I mean, I think they're going to examine different aspects of those characters. Now that they have all the origin stories like clearly established for all those characters, now we can get into other types of stories. And I think that's great. I mean, seeing Captain America, facing off against his ex-partner and stuff like that is going to be pretty awesome. So,
yeah,
I'm pretty excited.
They should just make a musical.
I agree.
God.
A musical?
Plus the Winter Soldier. Back to... You know, cool stuff. The Winter Soldier has an awesome outfit. So,
yes. Well, like I'm excited that Black Widow is going to be in it, because I thought it was interesting that, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow don't have their own films, but they are incredibly popular. So I like how they're going to be used in other films. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Hawkeye pop up in, you know, another one of the Avengers movies. And I'm waiting for the Thor with Mark Ruffalo. I'm not Thor, sorry. The Hulk. Movie with Mark Ruffalo. I mean, why not?
Have they even mentioned that as if it's
in? No, it's not actually not on the plate now. They're saying, I read the order today and it was something like Iron Man, then Thor, then Captain America, then Guardians of the Galaxy, then Avengers 2.
Then Ant-Man?
Ant-Man actually wasn't even on the list, so I don't know. It's
2015, I think, is what it's
okay.
Said.
Okay.
I mean, it's still that's still getting made. That's not getting canned at all. So it's I think good. It's 2015, though. So I think it falls after the next Avengers, possibly. Is that right? Avengers 2, I think, is 2014.
Yeah,
for then Ant-Man will fall, which is interesting to me because I think that could mean that they could lead to like an Ultron for Avengers 3, which that would almost cool. definitely happen because it just mints money and it's pointless for them not to keep making them.
That's true, and you know they already said that Guardians of the Galaxy the protagonist well they're going to be all new, so they yeah. haven't met the Guardians of the Galaxy yet, but the antagonist is going to be Thanos.
It is.
And the same with Avengers 2, which will be really yeah. cool. So it's going to be a much larger galactic story.
Speaking of galactic stories in 2015.
Uh-oh. Good segue. That was good.
That was a good segue.
I like, know.
That's like pros.
Scott, take it over.
Oh, my God. So I guess the internet all knows that George Lucas has sold Lucasfilm to Disney for $4 billion. And wow. Star Wars Episode 7 is now slated for 2015.
So this is really bad news, though. Everybody wants to freak out. Like, every time Disney buys something, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be the worst thing ever. They're going to put Mickey in it. And I'm like, really? I don't think that's what Disney does.
No, yeah. I was trying to form like an overly passionate opinion about this one way or another. And I just don't have one, I suppose. And I think that's because, like, well, okay, so we live in Orlando, and if you go to the parks, like, this is not anything new to see.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes. I think I saw a tweet that was like, oh, now they're going to have, like, Mickey dressed as a Jedi. And it's like, well, no. Yeah, they already have that. Like, for, like, you can go years. Buy an action figure.
Yeah.
You know, ever since Star Tours has been in the park, like, that stuff has existed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, did Disney World get the Star Tours overhaul that Disneyland yes. did?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's pretty, that ride is pretty amazing.
Oh, like, yeah.
If that's any indication of the level of quality that Disney's going to bring to the
sure.
table,
no, I mean,
super excited about it.
But back of the truck, like, what crappy thing have we seen Disney put out? Honestly, I mean, just like, what horribly crappy thing have they put out?
They don't. I think the only reason why people are afraid is because they're a kid-friendly company.
Yeah,
but they're really not anymore. They own so much.
They do.
They own a lot.
They're more of like, you know, they're a distribution tool at this point. They take a license or an IP. And they have the capacity to spread it to a wider audience. Yes. And that's why Lucas did what he did, because he knew that Disney, when Lucas dies, and this is what he said, he's like, when I die, I want Star Wars to be around forever. And he needed to put it in somebody's hands or a company's hands that could actually fulfill that wish.
Right.
If he left it to, you know, even his family or his daughter, it had the capacity of falling apart. But if you leave it to Disney.
What other entity could manage this IP? You know,
exactly.
in such a
right.
way, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I mean, look at, you know, and if you need like a track record to follow, look at Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Like, those movies seem to be doing pretty good. You know, like, there's no like Mickey Mouse showing up in the Avengers films. So,
but I think it's humorous to me because people did the same thing when Marvel got bought. It was like, you know, Mickey's going to be in the Avengers or something. And you're just like, come on. Like, Disney's not dumb. They're not stupid. They're not going to buy, yeah. they're not going to spend $4 billion on something and then shit all over it. Like, this is the dumbest thing they could ever do with a property. They're going to buy it. They're going to keep building it as if it was still completely Lucasfilms. And you know what I mean? Like, they're barely going to be present in the fact that they own this property, you know, other than ways they can make money off of it in the parks, which they already do anyways.
Yep.
And some merchandising. They're going to let that property live as if it was its own. That's what they did with Marvel. Like, everybody was like, so is Marvel different now that Disney owns it? And I'll be dead honest with you. You would have zero clue that Disney owned it being in the Marvel offices. Like, it's never a thing. It's just not even a concern. The one thing they will do is sue the living crap out of anyone who tries to steal their IPs. So I would be careful about that.
And I mean, to further the argument is that it's not like people were particularly pleased with the last three movies anyways.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So like, what do you want? I mean, do you like nobody else could, you know, if Disney puts more money into this, like into these films, and maybe someone goes, hey, maybe we shouldn't shoot everything on blue screen. Maybe we should actually like build some stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And
I think they definitely have learned from their mistakes. And it's not like, and this is what I want everyone to realize, it's not like they're going to hire a bunch of brand new people. They're going to be using a lot of like the staff that's been working on Star Wars stuff for a very long time. Mm-hmm. You know, to work on this new movie. It's not going to be like all of a sudden, you know, some upstart young director is going to have their way with the Star Wars universe. It's just not going
to
happen.
Well, and to be honest, these three movies weren't going to get made.
Yep.
Right? It's true. Yeah. He always said that he wasn't going to make them.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't think he would live long enough, I think, was his point of view, to put three quality more Star Wars movies out at this point. And he just was like, well, I'm just never going to do it. Like, I don't want to start that. I don't want to get into it. So I'm not going to do it. So with Disney buying it, it puts the manpower and the money behind it to create these three. So now you're getting more Star Wars because somebody came in and...
Yeah.
This buyout fear from Disney is always weird to me. Although I will admit that they are gigantic and they own a lot of things, but, you know, whatever.
But I mean, well, like, there's no one better to manage. And to your point, I wrote an article about this on our website, and I encourage everybody to go read it. But, you know, like, if you can look at another property that is not as big, but I guess you could draw some comparison, and that's the Muppets, right? So. Sure. You could make the argument that if Disney did not own the Muppets, there would be no more Muppet stuff. Absolutely not. So, and I think even in the Tim Rose panel at Celebration this year, they kind of mentioned that, like, even if this most recent movie had been a flop, that would have been the end of, like, Muppet stuff on like that kind of scale. So, you know, if George Lucas says, like, you know, I wasn't going to make these films, like, they probably would have never happened unless someone stepped up to the plate and said, like, no, we're going to make these films.
Right.
Same thing with the Muppets. Like, no one was going to be able to invest the money into, like, creating something that was sort of, like, on the level of what came out, you know, like, last year. So that's something else to consider, too, in this argument.
Well, and the reason that we're getting all of these amazing Marvel-owned movies is part due to the backing of Disney. There's less fear of failure when you've got a multi-billion dollar corporation sitting behind you going like, hey, it's cool, go make this thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So like, you can reach out and do this stuff with your properties that otherwise you would never, ever, ever be able to pull off the scale of.
Well, and hopefully they stop tinkering with the old ones, right? I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if they just re-released the old original cuts? I'd love that. But the thing about Disney that's kind of amazing is if you look at it from a brand perspective, it's actually kind of like we've been all raised by Disney one way or another. So it's like, it's so much more than just, you know, a park or, you know, something that makes movies. It's like a culture. And now to encompass Star Wars, like, that's like full circle for me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird. If you wanted Star Wars to remain like as an experience for the foreseeable future, like, this is what is going to happen. And to that point, I would say that, like, and I've said this before, that, like, as big as Star Wars is, what they have at, like, Hollywood Studios representing Star Wars is not that great. You know what I mean? There is one ride, which is spectacular, and then there's a gift shop. And, like, that's all they're really jumping on with, you know? And now they have, like, the Jedi thing for the kids.
They need to have, like a life-size Mos Eisley cantina with, like,
chicken wings. Exactly. Yes. I mean, look at
Harry Potter.
Yeah, look what they did with Harry Potter at Universal Studios. There's an entire like wing of the park dedicated to that. And I feel like you could do something similar. And maybe
it'll happen. You'll see.
And I kind of like in the article, I threw out like another pie in the sky idea. And now that Star Wars is a part of sort of the Disney multiverse, I suppose, like there is sort of like an interesting opportunity for characters to show up in Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
ABC owned. Yeah.
Yeah, could you imagine?
That would be crazy.
Like, you know, like, there's a new guy in town. His name is Luke. Like, I have a sister. Where is she? I don't know. I'm trying to find her. Like, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
People would poop.
I mean, some people would probably crap their pants and be angry, but, like, I think it's kind of cool, and that's what drives a show like that to be interesting.
And that's part of, like, that fear that I always point out is, like, Disney owns ABC, Disney owns ESPN, Disney owns Marvel, Disney owns the Muppets. Like, there are plenty of properties that Disney owns that wouldn't be alive, A, if they didn't own them, and B, you have no idea. Like, Disney owns ESPN, you would never know Disney owns ESPN if you, like, weren't in on it and knowing they owned it. You know, like, they don't, it's not like Mickey shows up in the friggin' sports highlights. It's like...
Yeah. Ugh. And I guess the last thing that I want to say about this, since we're going to be talking a little bit more in our Naquato, is aside from Star Wars, like, just think what this could be for Indiana Jones as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are other Lucasfilm properties. That ride at Disneyland is also very awesome.
Oh, we don't have a ride over here. We have like a stunt show, but I'm just saying like that last film.
Oh, we have a ride. It's
amazing. Didn't really care for that last film either. So
yeah,
maybe I don't know if we can get rid of the LaBeouf, but maybe we can get a better.
No. All right. So next up, Microsoft. The phone announcements happened on Monday.
Sorry.
Should I give it a second?
That's really funny, man. I love that clip.
I'm Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, NyQuil.
No.
So on Monday, Microsoft unveiled its Windows Phone 8 lineup. There's two kind of flagship phones, one from HTC and one from Nokia. None of this is news because they've all been kind of pre-announced to the Microsoft announcement. Pricing came out. They're pretty standard, $200 for the nice phones, $100 for the cheaper ones, which I actually think is cool that they're putting out an affordable line right off the bat along with their powerhouse phones. But Microsoft had always said there was a plan B if need be, and the Wall Street Journal this week put an article out saying that they are testing their own phones in Asia in case these phones that they launch through other companies don't work out, quote unquote.
Eight.
Meaning that there is a Surface phone in existence somewhere that may someday appear and be sold straight from Microsoft, much like the Surface tablet.
I'll
Scott, the reason I brought this up is because, Scott, you have the tablet.
Yeah.
Quality-wise, it seems like they had knocked it out of the park. So would you be excited for a Microsoft brand phone?
Absolutely. I think, and I've kind of felt this way about most of these technology brands, is that like if I'm going to enter into an ecosystem, I would rather just have the piece of hardware that company makes to go along with it, because I feel like that offers you the best chance to make sure that the hardware that you have is always in sync with whatever the software or operating system or UI is doing at that time. So it takes away a lot of that like uncertainty, especially with like, you know, with those early Android phones, like an update would come out and you would never know like if you were going to get the update or if the functionality would be there.
I'm still on version 2.2 on my Android phone and they're up to 0.2 already.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the argument for that. So, and I'm not saying that I don't really know anything about the existing Windows phone hardware devices, but like for me, like a Microsoft phone would make me consider that one first before anything else.
And I think that's what it is more than anything else. It's the allowance of marketing hype, you know, that Microsoft can kind of put behind a phone they make. You know, same with the Surface. Like, it's not like Windows tablets didn't exist or that other Windows tablets didn't come out. It's just that the fact that Microsoft made a tablet and put it out was gigantic news, you know?
Yeah.
And they made a unique one. They made one that was completely their own, and I think that's awesome. So I think that's their point of view, is like they're giving Nokia and HTC a chance to run with the show and see how it goes. And if these phones flop and they feel like they need another marketing push, they're not going to let this Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 and Surface and all of that, this is all they have now.
Maybe not allowed to fail.
Yeah, this has to make it. Otherwise, Microsoft is going to fail. So it seems like they're ready to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, I guess. So,
yep.
Cool. Hillary, you got the last piece?
I do. So Bravo, which is known for Real Housewives of New Jersey and other shows of that caliber.
Is it known for that?
Yeah, it is.
I love Top Chef.
Okay, fine. Top Chef too. But really, the Real Housewives made that network. They're launching a new show called Startups, and it's all about entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley, which is near and dear to my heart that I grew up here. But yeah, it's causing a lot of fuss in the Silicon Valley, basically hyping up something that isn't actually very sexy at all. Really?
Is it showing how douchey all the dudes that do startups are in the web sphere, or no?
Well, it's like they took these six really, really good looking people who are, you know, obviously like, you know, very, very good on camera and have, you know, big personalities. One of them is actually named Hermione, which actually cracked me up.
Shut up.
Yeah, no joke.
Get out of here.
But you know, real entrepreneurs and people who have made it in Silicon Valley are kind of upset because, you know, one guy said real entrepreneurship happens at 9 p.m. during a long coding session on Friday night or over a coffee talking about the future of the internet. That doesn't make for really good TV. So, I mean, that's a very, really fair point. And also it kind of glamorizes something that really isn't that glamorous in the fact that it takes a lot of hard work and, you know, you don't, I don't know. It's just strange to have this like narcissistic reality TV kind of slant to something that's really based on an idea or, you know, people working around the clock. Mm-hmm. It's just strange. So particularly here where there's a lot of very serious people, they're not very happy about the idea that this is going to start off a media trend where, there's a lot of shows being pitched.
Now, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That already exists. I mean,
The Social Network definitely did, you know, Facebook and all of that. That definitely put.
Well, you start throwing millions of dollars. I mean, like, for instance, Instagram sells for $1 billion, which is the most ludicrous thing that ever happened in the history of entrepreneurship.
Right.
And, like, you don't think that already kicked off this, like, glamorism? I mean, the reality is that the Silicon Valley, not all of it, but the web startup kind of thing is known for its douchebags. Like, I don't know how else to say it. They're just it's full of these young, they're like in their 20s. They're super egotistical. They've been told how awesome they are and given millions of dollars to do something. And the reality is 90% of them fail, miserably fail.
Yes.
So it's like the argument that other entrepreneurs want to make that, like, oh, you're glamorizing something, it's not glamorous, is like, sure, for 10% of you, I'll give you that. But I think it's a little too late to sail that ship down the river. You know, like, I mean, this is already happening. It's way too blown up. I think we're in a bubble anyways, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because there was a producer that commented on a couple stories, and they were saying that they get 5 or 6 pitches a day on Silicon Valley now because of the, you know, because of the recent kind of uptick. And it all kind of, I think it all kind of started with the Justin Timberlake Social Network stuff.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That definitely kicked it off.
So, definitely. I mean, but it's just having grown up here and, you know, driving by things, you know, just being up here even now and looking and seeing, oh, there's LinkedIn over there. Oh, there's Facebook over there. Oh, amazing. All of these brands that you interact with every single day being here. It's just strange.
With LinkedIn every single day.
Oh, I do.
I think everybody has a LinkedIn page and like 10% of the people use their LinkedIn page.
It's actually turning into more of an actual network
tool. Off.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, the conversation for later, but yeah.
Okay.
I endorse what you just said, Matt.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to like it, you people. But with, you know, with all the hype and being that I'm from here and have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder because of that, I'll probably still watch the show and I'll probably just sit there and make fun of it the entire time. But they'll have the advertising spend will be hitting me, so I guess that's the real point, right? So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's actually all over the news here. It's quite bizarre. I don't think I would have pulled this story and put it into the mix had I not been here right now and watching the news and hearing everybody talk about it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'll probably check it out, but that scene is starting to really get to me. I'm getting annoyed by it a lot, but I'm around it like you are, like a lot.
Yeah.
I'm constantly around it. So
is it similar to another scene that we used to be around in a lot?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. The furry scene.
Is that what you guys are talking about? Similar to the furry scene.
Derailing here. This one time I went to Comic-Con. It was a year that I went to Comic-Con by myself, which was really weird. But so I went to Comic-Con by myself, and then the same weekend of Comic-Con, there was actually a furry con, and it was taking place in the ballroom of my hotel room.
Oh, you told me about this, yeah.
So I like walked out of the elevator like
sexy time.
One night, I want to say like Friday night at Comic-Con, and there were just like 50 furries standing around.
You know
there's going to be some debauchery, some butt flaps, some
jeez.
Do you feel it tingling in your loins when that happens?
Oh no.
I almost ran out and bought a werewolf costume.
The thing that's tripping me out the most is how you say debauchery.
Why? What do you say?
Debauchery.
All right.
Downton Abbey, huh?
Let's take a break, keeping it on track, and then we'll come back and do some reviews.
That is a great song.
It's one of the many that I do.
Keeping it on track.
Let's do reviews, guys.
Okay.
Reviews. Oh, we're back. And we're doing reviews.
Reviews. So Assassin's Creed 3.
Ezio Auditore. Ezio.
No, no longer Ezio. Ezio Auditore.
It's a me.
Ezio.
He's done.
No. Oh.
It's now Connor. But when you start off the game, you're not playing as Connor.
Yeah, what's up with Connor. That?
Who do you start as?
Someone named Hayden.
James Bond.
What?
Like so, I can't tell you why.
He's very debonair.
Oh.
I can't tell you why, because it would spoil the plot. But
okay. Spoilers.
Yeah, how far? You've gotten a couple. How many segments are you in? Or
I'm like in
sequences?
The first or second one. Like, okay, I've played so like about 2 hours.
Okay, so you're still playing Hayden.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so you do stop playing him after a while, and you become Connor, which is
the marketing would suggest to me.
Yes, and there is a tomahawk, which I'm fully in support of. I don't know. I think the game is pretty cool. There are some things. I'm going to start with the negative first. The only thing that I find is pretty negative is how your gun reloading works. It's like the most obnoxious thing. So once you fire a shot, whether you're using a musket or you're using like a pistol, it takes you forever to reload your gun.
To be fair, it did actually take forever to reload your gun back then.
No, but the thing is, when you were Ezio and you had like a firing weapon, like a pistol, or you had like some built-in thing that Leonardo da Vinci gave you, it didn't act like that. And that was back in the Renaissance.
Well, that's because Leonardo da Vinci built it for you.
It still took some time, though, to reload those weapons, but it was annoying, you know, nonetheless.
It wasn't as annoying as the guns in this game, though. I mean, you're like sitting there like, okay, come on, dude. You're getting punched and kicked, and like, stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you completely.
If this is your biggest qualm with the game, then I'm gonna love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. But beyond that, like climbing the trees and running through the treetops is it's amazing. And the vistas, it's all really really spectacular.
Have you encountered any battles yet? Like, is it really epic and just kind of amazing to see these big
haven't
battles?
I haven't seen the battles where they have like more than 1,000 NPC on the screen. I have seen the ones like I've fought a couple forts, and you're dealing with a big amount of troops coming at you, but it's not like the epic. I haven't reached the epic battle scenes yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I know are coming because I've seen them. But like, yeah, I haven't seen that part yet. But overall, the game is really good. My other little kind of thing about it is okay. So Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood and even Revelations had like amazing music throughout the course of the entire game. Uh-huh. This one doesn't really have the music, and that's kind of disappointing because it's one of my favorite aspects of the franchise.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it has good music, but it's not the same. It's not,
I don't
know.
Doesn't stand out is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. And it's not playing all the time. So,
interesting.
Yeah. But other than that, the graphics look great.
In terms of characters and supporting cast, how do you guys feel about the actual people in the game?
Well, you still, when you're Desmond, you still have your crew, right? That when you're in present day or whatever, you still have the same people with you.
Okay.
So you're developing those relationships a little bit more. As Hayden, you build some relationships, but you're still kind of unclear.
Who the fuck is Hayden?
You're still a little bit unclear as to why you're him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Exactly. That's my question too.
No, but that's the thing. But as I was playing, I was like, I guess this is cool. I mean, he's kind of neat. His hat's kind of funny, whatever. And
what are you?
No, but here's, I can't tell you. If I tell you, it ruins everything.
Fine, I'll have to play this game.
Okay, so I think it's by like sequence 3. At the end of that one, you go right into being a new character, and it'll explain why. And there's kind of a shocking twist, so I cannot tell you why.
Oh my god!
But it's really good.
Is it
that kind of sounds like a spoiler?
I can't tell you.
But that's a spoiler.
Shyamalan twist.
I can tell you there's a twist. There's probably more than one twist.
Yeah, but that's already a spoiler.
Here we go.
What is happening?
You play as Hayden for a while, but Hayden dies, and then you become Connor.
I never said that Hayden
dies. You were actually playing as the bad guy, and now you're playing as the good guy. Did I write the game?
No, actually, you're very wrong. You're
good,
very wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. This is already too spoilery for me.
There's nothing. I'm not. That's it.
Talking about the presence of a plot twist is a spoiler because now I'm looking for it. You know what I'm saying?
You just angered Scott. I can hear it in his voice.
No. Let me back up. Hillary touched upon the point that you start out playing as another character, and like so much is made of the first, like, what they call the first 15 minutes of any game to, like, rope the player in, which is very, like, popular nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
honestly, I'm bored right now, like, with the game. I expected this was supposed to be the third game, you know, after, like, three games of the second game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing, like, where is the thing that I go, like, yes, finally, you know, like, that is... Yeah, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you'll see it soon.
Some of the game... Yeah, but why 2 hours later? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm
but
still
you're
doing...
You're establishing the world, because haven't you noticed... I mean, that's the one thing that Assassin's Creed, the franchise, has been criticized
I've
for.
I've played five of these games already. Like, what are we establishing at this point?
Oh, and by the way, it's not Hayden, it's Haytham. That's... It's Haytham. Weird.
Like with a lisp?
Sorry. Yeah, like, Haytham. I said Hayden because I like
Haytham. Haytham. Star of Heroes, Haytham Panthiary.
Oh no.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I didn't get more than 2 hours into Assassin's Creed. Is that the one? Yes. The one that I hated.
Yes,
do I have to keep playing that, or can I not ever turn that game on again?
That one has an interesting story at the end.
Does it have anything to do with the Assassin's Creed story at all?
Of course it does, because it has to do with the whole Pieces of Eden and all of that.
Does it make any sense though, or is there like some
okay, this
weird
is what you
glowing
need to do.
God that talks to me again that makes
no
sense whatsoever?
This is what you need to do. Go to IGN and watch the thing that says, and I have it on my Twitter too, so it's the thing that says catch up with Assassin's Creed in 5 minutes, and it takes you through the entire story. So no, you don't really have to play ACR if you don't want to. It does get better. The tower defense thing I didn't like either,
right?
But I enjoyed the game more and more as I kept playing, but I'm also bought into the franchise, right? So I'm one of the...
I like you say that though, but like I am, this was literally used to be my favorite series of all time. You can ask Scott or Ash. I loved Assassin's Creed to an insane degree. I beat all the games that came out. Revelation was the first one that I bought that I was like, I hate this. I'm like, I'm just not even into this at all. Like, it just annoyed me while I was playing. There was just nothing about it. So I just wanted to know, like, story-wise, if it's important, I will force myself through it. But if it's not, I just want to play this one that I'm holding right now.
Well, let me say this. It's not like you have to load your old game or your old save game into this game. So no, it's not required that you play this game. I will say that there is something that happens at the end of ACR that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
But I think you can get that in another way. If you don't want to play the game and you just want to jump into AC3, you can totally do that.
I have another question too, and I'm going to turn my video on to see so you guys can see this.
Okay.
I really hope it's a picture of your butt.
I pre-ordered the game and I got like some like special silver edition or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which came in this, right? Uh-huh.
Ooh, pretty.
Nice, pretty case.
Steelbook. Yep.
And then I opened it and there's nothing in it. And packaged along with it was the regular game box. Why did they send this to me?
Oh, wow. My God.
I can tell you why.
Please do, because this made no sense when I got it.
The steelbook is actually what you got from pre-ordering from a lot of different outlets. So if you pre-ordered, like, I have the steelbook too, because I pre-ordered through a certain retailer, which I will not name. And then when I picked
up
my copy,
game retailers now.
Well, they gave me the steelbook like 5 months ago. So I've had it sitting on the shelf. And then, they gave me the regular copy as well. So I just moved all the actual discs over to the steelbook, but that's why, cause they actually manufactured those for retailers.
It seems like what you would call a waste in the, production area.
Yeah.
Definitely. Plastic box for a thing that I'm gonna literally throw the plastic box out because I have nothing I can do with it at this point.
You can throw it on the sidewalk and watch little kids try and run and pick it up and then fill it with like cobras or something.
glue it to the ground like the iPhone 5 in Amsterdam. Oh,
that'd be good. Yeah, like glue it closed and glue it to the ground.
Why am I playing through 3 hours of the game that are like relatively boring in comparison to all of the hype that we saw for like the past like
so...
6 months on this game?
The reason is because you'll find out at the end of sequence 3. And it's important because it's establishing... all of that stuff that you're doing right now is establishing who the antagonist is going to be. Sure. And then also it's kind of story driven, and it's giving you a look into the world, because if they threw you in as Connor, I have a feeling that you would be like, I don't understand what's at stake. You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
if
but
you
at
have
this point, at this point, I don't care what's at stake. That's the problem. I guess that's the argument that I'm.
Yeah, my first advice to you is get out of the taverns and stop playing those stupid games.
Well, I'm doing these missions, but it's like I'm barely like interested in what is happening in the story. And I guess that's sort of my problem, is that, like, in my opinion, I don't think the game did a good job of like pulling you in fast enough, or at least in a significant way. And that's not to say this game isn't bad. It's Assassin's Creed. Of course, it's a great game. Like, the gameplay is like better, you know, and all this, like, there are improvements there, but like,
right,
for the amount of like this being like marketed to me, like, it doesn't match. I guess that's my complaint.
Have you talked to Ben Franklin yet?
We did have a pretty funny conversation about older women. So
yeah, he's a bit of a perv.
Is he your Da Vinci in this game?
For Haytham, I believe. I haven't gotten far enough with Connor yet. I mean, I'm only at sequence 5 or 6.
Right.
So
Is Haytham?
You'll find out.
Ash is going to keep asking this until you answer him. This is interesting.
Haytham is fun. You'll find out. I can't tell you. If I tell you, it ruins everything.
He's just like a little kid. He's got to go. He's got to know now, you know? He can't wait.
Let me Google that for you. Just Google it.
No, I don't want to.
Anyways,
I'll play it today.
If it sounds like I have a lot of nerd rage, it's only because I really want to like this game. And I guess that's right. Sort of where this stems from. So
if you bust through the Haytham parts, I mean, and to be fair, I felt similar. I'm like, why am I playing this dude with a weird hat? Like, where's Connor? Where's my tomahawk? I want my tomahawk. And but you know, I got through it, and I didn't play any of the stupid tavern games, and
I'm sort of a completionist, and it's not like
sort of.
Did you find all the pages of the almanac?
I mean, I found one.
Okay, I found two, so I don't know if all four. I think there's only four, so I don't know if they're only in the Haytham part or if you actually go back to playing Haytham. I don't even know, but I know that there's a transition between Haytham and Connor.
Oh God,
Ash, you have a question.
Yeah. In relation to the story, who's Haytham?
I can't tell you.
I guess it's a spoiler, so we can't talk
about it. I always know when Ash's questions are fake when he says, I have a question. Otherwise, he just asks. He's just like, so blah, 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 blah. But otherwise, when he's like, I have a question, and then he pauses for comedic effect. That's always how I know his questions are fake.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so to sum it up, Assassin's Creed 3 has better combat, except for the guns. It has everything that you like. It has everything you like about an Assassin's Creed game, where you climb up on things and you synchronize and you do mini missions and you kill a lot of people in interesting and creative ways. You have new ways to kill people, which is fun. New things to climb, which are trees. And the vista, like the whole environment, is really, really, I don't know, it grabs you. But the things that are bad about it is the lack of music and the guns.
So do you have reasons to kill now?
You do.
Like,
you
know what I mean? Like two felt like, you know, reasonable as to what you're doing. One felt reasonable as to what you're doing. I would even say that Brotherhood was closer to being reasonable as to why you were killing everybody.
In Revelations, you're a sociopath.
Yeah, in Revelations, you're just murdering half of cities for no reason whatsoever.
Welcome to Constantinople. So, I'm going to kill everybody here.
Yeah, you basically show up and you're like, I'm old Ezio and I'm about to fuck this place up.
So here's the thing. You have the stake of, okay, as when you're playing as Connor, you have, you know, you're trying to protect your people, right? But you're also trying to help the Patriots, because you believe the Patriots are better than the alternative, which is the Redcoats, right?
Right.
So you have a lot of stake, right? And then your missions and whatnot, they're very fleshed out. So you absolutely have a reason to kill people.
George Washington yet?
No. Yeah. So I think it's a lot of fun. If you know, you take Haytham or leave him. There is a method. There is a method to it, to the madness. So there is definitely a payoff. Believe me, there's a payoff.
Awesome. Cool. So I last night went and saw Wreck-It Ralph with my wife in 3D, no less.
Nice.
Wreck-It Ralph is the newest Disney 3D animated movie, like three, you know what I mean? Multi-dimensional mm-hmm. animated movie that was yeah. done in 3D also. It's directed by Rich Moore, and it had a just gigantic cast that was really awesome. Rich Moore, I think this might be, let me look. I think this is his first real movie. He comes from like The Simpsons and Futurama previously, but yeah, this is his first full length like directorial debut, essentially. Cool. It follows the story of this fake video game character named Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph, who is a bad guy in a sort of like Donkey Kong like game, and kind of has like a existential crisis to not want to be bad anymore and want to have friends, because he kind of gets shunned for being the bad guy. Everybody ignores him, and he just decides that he kind of hates his life and he doesn't want to lead it anymore. And he discovers that if he can get, he thinks that if he can get a gold star, that everybody will love him, yeah. essentially. Uh-huh. So in this completely ingenious way that they do video games in this arcade, he escapes his game and then kind of causes havoc by breaking into other games and trying to win a gold star, which sounds really simplified, but it gets a lot deeper than that. I mean, just...
I heard he gets into Street Fighter, which I'm really excited about.
Not... So, none of the feature games, like none of the games that are like games that you are kind of in the movie are real. So there's the one that he's in is called Fix-It Felix Jr. Mm-hmm. And then, which is Donkey Kong, essentially. Kind of Donkey Kong mixed with like a Dig Dug or something. I don't know. But Wreck-It Ralph like knocks down bricks in the building, and then Fix-It Felix comes with his golden hammer and fixes the building up while he's knocking it down. And then he goes to a game called Heroes. Oh, shit. I forgot that game's name. Heroes. It's basically a first-person shooter, like sci-fi first-person shooter, like Mass Effect almost, but,
oh, okay.
but all action, first-person action. And then he goes to a game called Sugar Rush, which is like a kart racer. And that's where probably about 75% of the movie takes place. Just gut reaction, guys, it's awesome. It's completely one of the best Disney movies I've seen come out in a long, long time.
It's really encouraging.
The animation is flawless. Like it reminds you.
Is this Pixar or not Pixar?
No, this is Disney. I mean, this is, okay. I think, the first John Lasseter executive produced Disney movie, because they bought Pixar. So I want to say this is the first. It might be the second one that he's the like executive producer on, but it is totally Disney. The Pixar is not branded on it at all. But it is good. And I would say just shy of like Pixar emotional quality, if that makes sense.
Oh, wow. Cool. That's awesome.
So like, you know, Pixar movies evoke that kind of like weird, you know, this is a little bit more, I'm trying to think of a good example, a little bit more Monsters, Inc. than Toy Story 3 or something, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So, or Wall-E or something like that. But yeah, John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, Jane Lynch are all the kind of the main voices. The bad guy is Alan Tudyk. It's awesome all the way through. There's so many like nudges and nods at our generation for gaming. Like Street Fighter's in it, and the ending, the closing credits are really awesome, and I really highly suggest everybody stay and watch them, because they kind of roll through all these classic video games and they put Wreck-It Ralph in them.
That's cool.
But there's a lot of nudge. I mean, it's one of those things where there's so much going on in any scene that like you swear in the background there's like all these like different characters from games, and they're all like interacting in weird different ways, and it's like just happening in the movie while there's like an actual movie going on in the foreground that you're supposed to be watching. And definitely recommend everybody go see this. It's a phenomenal movie. It's made for us, literally. Especially I think it's made for us if we have kids, you know, like a lot of people our age have kids now, and it's the kind of perfect movie for, you know, somebody in their 30s to take their younger kids to, because it's perfect for kids, and there's so much stuff in it for our generation. It's just kind of amazing. I would actually recommend seeing it in 3D. And I did catch while we were watching the credits, Jennifer Hale is a voice actor in it. She
Oh, cool.
Is credited.
Of course she is.
she's credited, but not, she's just credited as additional voices. So I think she probably, there's a lot of characters in the movie. So she probably did,
did like half of them.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of backup. So,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So go see it. Go see it in 3D. Totally a win. It's good. Go check it out. Wreck-It Ralph.
Everybody go see Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes.
All right, Scott. So the next thing on our list for reviews, we've been following. Yeah.
What's up? This next one, I have a question.
Yeah.
Does this next one have zombies?
It does. It has zombies. It is filled with zombies. But we're actually not going to talk too much about the zombies. I'm just going to talk about the general tone and the and how really how great this game is. And I'm just going to gush for a minute. But we've been following Telltale's Walking Dead series since the very beginning. And a couple weeks ago, they put out episode 4, which is called Around Every Corner. And I can't really speak highly enough for the series. I want to say this at this point, this is probably one of my favorite horror titles of all time. I would without a doubt say, you know, of all time. Absolutely. Like, I mean, I have never been more on edge. I don't want to say scared, but more on edge than when I play this game.
It's emotionally engaging.
It is. You really care a lot about everyone that's with you, like all your companions. And all of your actions have definite repercussions. So, you know, everything that you do in this game can mean life or death for the people around you. And so, you know, it's scary to play because you care a lot about the people you're with and you care a lot about, you know, what's going on. The last thing you want to do is fuck up and have somebody close to you die. And also, like, imagine playing a game like Mass Effect with a decision wheel. But there's a timer on every decision, and the timer might be set for like 3 or 4 seconds. So you have just enough time to read and make a decision before that timer ticks down, and then you don't get to make a decision at all. So while the game is played mostly through QuickTime sequences, it is they're all very innovative and fun. So episode 4, Around Every Corner. It's hard to talk about this game without revealing spoilers at this point, and I'll try my best not to do it. But, things have gotten really grim at this point in the story. They start off grim, but they've gotten more and more grim. But there are some really huge revelations and some great new characters show up that you're not expecting to see, which I really enjoyed. You have a constant, like almost a rotating cast throughout this game because so many people die and they keep adding new people and new. You know, old faces disappear, and what did you think of it, Scott?
I thought that like this game, you know, this episode was certainly like on par with the quality of like all the other episodes. It's fantastic. I did kind of feel like it had that sort of Empire feeling where it was really just kind of existed to set up the end, like the last chapter. You know?
Yeah.
Like I wasn't really. I felt like there was so many new, like. Things that were introduced that it was hard to like I feel like I didn't have time to like care about it because I was already concerned about relationships I had made in the previous episodes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of like I don't know that I really liked the one new character in particular that I think everybody is like excited about.
Oh really?
Because I feel like that character is not vulnerable enough.
Okay.
That makes sense. Without saying too much.
Well, they introduce, for those listening, they introduce a new character who is like kind of on par with Michonne from both the television series and the comic book series. So they introduce a female who is sort of like the quote unquote badass.
I mean, she's the one that everyone's going to cosplay as this year. Like, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah,
about it.
That's totally what I said when I first saw this. I cannot wait to see all the cosplay for this character. But I felt like the game needed that because... You know, there were a couple characters that existed earlier that were very popular that are no longer around.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it's kind of I think the game needs icons, and I think this is a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
someone to put on a poster or someone to represent the franchise because this is, you know, they've already said this is just the first season of the game. They're going to go on and make more. So.
And I mean, while I did feel as if like a lot of this chapter was setting up the, you know, like the climax of the story.
Yeah.
I will say that I really did enjoy the end of the game. So, I mean, end of this chapter. So
you
I'll just leave it at that.
Did you feel like you were going to throw up though?
I just didn't, I guess it's not what I expected to see. So I'm not going to say anything else about it other than that.
It left me feeling kind of like I needed to take a shower.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was. I mean, Hillary, I'm not kidding. Like, you need to sit down and play through these because it is like the most gut-wrenching, like terrifying stuff ever. Like, it is so well done and so well written. So well voice acted. Like, I can't talk highly enough about it. And the fact that the reason why more people, I think, are not playing this game is because it's a episodical adventure game. So that doesn't really appeal to very many people, or it used to, but it's not as popular as it used to be.
You can buy it as a box copy. Now they're going to sell it at GameStop.
They are. Yeah. So if you want to wait a couple months and get the actual hard copy and get the whole thing, you can do that too.
Comes out on December 4th. You can buy the whole thing, for like $30 or wait. Yeah. $30. Am I right about that on console? I think so. Yes.
Awesome. So that means that the last episode will be out by then.
Yeah. It probably comes out on the 4th if I had to take a guess.
It's incredible.
So I have a question. There are zombies. I'm just getting you back for EC3.
I think they call them walkers. Am I right about that?
You're correct.
Yeah, they're walkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to get Ash back for asking the same question three times during the EC3 review.
I apologize. I couldn't help myself. I'm really jammed by it.
Cool.
Sweet. Our reviews have been ending weirdly.
Yeah, I know. It's like a wave of emotion, and then it kind of crashes on shore and spreads out quietly along the beach, and then it's quiet again. You know, yeah. So a new 2D side-scrolling game came out on Halloween, called PID, and it's from the developer Might and Delight. And I think what's really cool about sort of like this era of 2D platforming is that because the genre is so mature, people have taken to like sort of designing it in like more beautiful kind of ways. So like we have games that are like Rochard, which I reviewed a while back, which introduced like a lot of interesting physics, but then like really went like to the next level with the artwork and the music. And PID kind of does this in a similar way where they take the 2D platformer and they sort of wrap it in this like story with beautiful environments and excellent music and sort of like atmosphere, I suppose, is what maybe was lacking from like the, you know, the 2D games of yore. So,
of yore.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, it's almost like an art piece that you just experience, but it's, and while it is a platformer and there's like jumping and stuff to do, they introduce like new mechanics. So that kind of go above and beyond. So like, I haven't gotten too far into the game, but one of the first things you pick up in the game is you pick up these little balls of light, and you can toss these balls of light onto the ground, or they stick to any surfaces actually. But your arc isn't that far. So you just kind of like shoot it out, maybe like a character length in front of you, and whatever it touches, like a beam of light comes out from it and pushes you away from the thing that you put it on. So if you can imagine like trying to navigate your way through platforming levels by like throwing these like light beams down to like push you up, and like you can put them on walls. There are a lot of like angled surfaces, like diagonal surfaces. So you'll be like throwing things onto like angled surfaces and trying to climb your way up by like alternating, you know, throwing your light beam down on angled surfaces. Of course, like what makes these games great now is that there's like really beautiful art and excellent music, and just kind of like a story that is sort of more like ephemeral than the stories like that used to like populate like these kind of like 2D platformers. So
it looks very like dreamlike.
Yeah, exactly. And that it kind of starts out that way too. It's like,
would I hate this game?
Yeah, Ash would hate this game, which means that it's really good. there are puzzles and there are challenging things, and there's like, you know, it is retro inspired, but you know, in this era that we're in, like these games have to be this good to be noticed, and like this game is like so far this good. So I'm only scratching the surface because I can see that I have an inventory of maybe 10 or 12 items, and I only have two or three of those items. So I can only imagine like all the different ways you'll have to puzzle your way through like the levels in the game, but it's all enjoyable and interesting. Like all the environments are relevant. Like, a character will say, like, oh, you need to go through this house. And then, like, the art style is, like, you're going through the attic of a house, and then you're climbing on the roof, and you're going, like, underground, and it, like, the, you know, the environment switches to a cave, and it's all very, like, detailed. It kind of, like, these games kind of have, like, a 3D effect of depth, even though it's a 2D game. And, like, stuff like that really makes it, like, awesome to look at and just, like, sort of experience and be a part of. So, this game is out now on Xbox.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just typed in PID into Google because I was going to look it up, but the first thing that popped up was pelvic inflammatory disease.
I know.
A general term for infection of the uterus lining.
Oh, no.
Is this game about pelvic inflammatory disease, Scott?
It's PIDgame.com for everybody. Oh, PIDgame.com.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, okay. Got it.
Yeah. And it's by
continue.
Yeah, no, that's cool. This game is out now. It's available on Xbox, PC, and Mac. So I think PC and Mac are through Steam.
Steam, yeah.
It's going to be out on PlayStation eventually. I think it's only $10, which is
cool.
Apparently, like, a really good deal right now from what I've seen so far. That's totally worth it. So, yep. So I highly recommend PID if you like any of those kinds of games, like, you know, like on the caliber of the good side scrollers we've seen so far, like, you know, like your Shadow Complex and your Roshard and and there's something else that I'm leaving out, but it's definitely a great game. I encourage everyone to go check it out.
Cool.
So that's awesome. PID, Fight the Light.
Well, let's take a minute and then come back with our Nequato.
Hi, this is Kimberly Brooks. You're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Okay, so our Nequato this week was George Lucas related. Episode 7 will continue the story of Luke, Han, and Leia beyond Jedi. If recast, who should play those roles? And we got some angriness.
Yeah, we did.
So we got some nerd rage kicking in about this.
Nerd rage.
And one standout repeated answer, I believe. So that should be interesting.
For sure.
We'll go ahead and kick it off. Amanda, at Fluid Fire, friend of the site, says, no known actors. If recast, they will need to find new people, new faces to take this role, like Harry Potter. Otherwise, it's too well known. I think, Scott, you were the one that made the point of how Abrams did it with Star Trek, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't. But I'll take credit for it if no one else does.
That may have been me. But
it's probably Ash.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. They didn't really do that with Star Trek. Those were all relatively well-known actors, and it seemed to work. But then
yeah.
Harry Potter, she's right. These were all, other than McGonagall and...
Well, they were children.
Yeah, the children were all new actors, but all the old adults were all pretty well-known actors.
Like, very, yeah. Very well-known actors.
Yeah. But very good actors. Too, so
yeah,
yes.
Well, I mean, I think when Scott first brought up that they were gonna, you know, it was gonna continue the story beyond Jedi and stuff, my first thing I said was like, well, there's no way. I'm like, they're not gonna have, you know, old Harrison Ford and things like that. And I think it's since been revealed Mark Hamill went on record saying that he is gonna be in it, but what we heard is that he's gonna be a Force ghost. And he's going to be dead Luke. And so this is, I think, what we're hearing now. We posted this question earlier in the week, but this is going to be like a story that deals with like Luke's, you know, great grandson or grandson or something like that. And Luke is just going to be sort of like the Yoda figure, which is kind of cool. So it's going to be a story that takes place way down the road from Jedi, which I can see. I mean, having that, like, you know, Harrison Ford, like, back in the Millennium Falcon as like a 70-year-old dude. That's not gonna happen. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. you can probably answer this. How far? I know the books go into Luke like opens a Jedi school, and then Leia and Han have kids, and like all of that kind of stuff. How far does that go as far as like in the book? Like how many generations?
Let me look it up.
This kind of move. You don't know? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Grand Admiral Thrawn and all that.
Yeah. So I love.
Did
those
you read
books.
Those books? Yeah, I did. Those books.
I was slightly surprised. I mean, I guess I wasn't so surprised, but it was kind of surprising that they wanted to do an entirely new story. Like, I thought a la comic books, it would not have been so ridiculous to make a film of a book that already existed, but I mean, that hasn't really been the MO for the movies, but I didn't think it would have been so weird to do that.
Yeah. So next up.
So Jen Freckles 04, Nathan Fillion is an amazing space scoundrel, but he's Captain Tightpants and always will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I can't, for some reason, I can't see Nathan Fillion in Star Wars in the same.
It'd be weird, right?
It would be
weird.
I don't
know that I can either.
That's weird. Yeah, Star Wars appeared to win our user poll. So.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
It's a little too close, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
No, I do, yeah. He, you know, Mal was definitely modeled after Han, so it'd be kind of weird to see that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Janelle Boys Chen, who is at Darce Entity on Twitter, says, should be new Darce characters Serenity. Or... Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Darce Serenity. I get it. Should be new characters or the Thrawn trilogy. Luke should be Owen Wilson. Han should be Nathan Fillion. And Leia should be Zoe Deschanel. And Mara should be Felicia Day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
I think the internet needs another redhead celebrity to help to help fill those roles for her. I think she's
there are very few, right?
Yeah.
There are a few. I think that's not the only Felicia Day that we got. I can't really see Felicia Day as Mara Jade, though. Sorry to say.
No, I can't either.
No, and Zoe Deschanel, while I love her, Leia's a different type of character, I think, than the typical.
Maybe she's just never
Zoe.
Been given the option.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Be in that character.
See, I can see someone like Keira Knightley being Leia.
Good old fish face.
Fish face.
Oh my
she's
god!
Her cheeks are always face. Sucked in. She looks like she's making.
I love her. No.
Not that she looks like a fish, but that she looks like she's making a little kid's fish face all the time.
So well, Justin Banks.
I was just going to fight for a second. So Keira Knightley would be good. You know why? Because Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman look so much alike that it's an easy step to think, oh, well, Natalie Portman's her mother and she looks like her mother. Ta-da. Mm,
true.
Ta-da. So good Justin idea. Banks at Midtown 583 says, Han should be Nathan Fillion, Luke should be Neil Patrick Harris, and Leia should be Felicia Day.
Yep.
Hmm.
Wow.
Our repeated answers.
NPH in the house represent.
So has Luke. That'd be interesting.
It'd be Latin for it.
Tastis Barry. McGee at Tasman says, the only one I can really think for someone good for the role of Han, hands down, Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion.
Oh, wow.
Han Solo.
Well, Patrick Weeks at Patrick Weeks says Luke, Matt Damon, Han, Nathan Fillion again. Leia, Jamie Alexander, or ScarJo, Scarlett Johansson. But
oh, my gosh.
I disagree with everyone here. Everyone.
Yeah,
I don't know,
okay,
Matt,
well.
Could be a good Luke, I guess.
Who do you think it should be? I mean, because we haven't done any of ours.
Okay, so, like I said, Leia as Keira Knightley would be pretty interesting. Matt Damon could make a good Luke, but I'm thinking more along the lines of probably a newcomer for Luke. I don't know. Han could be someone like Russell Crowe, or I don't know, not Russell Crowe, but someone who's like known to be kind of swarthy. I don't know. Not Nathan Fillion, though. He's not...
John Goodman.
He's too rough. Like, Han needs to be a little bit more rough around the edges, you know? Nathan Fillion, I don't think is rough around the edges enough. He's a little bit too. I look at him and I see Castle. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So,
okay.
But yeah, that I think yeah. So two. I guess my only one is Keira Knightley. Ta-da!
All right, sounds good.
The end.
So Joss Hendricks at S Jaws says, "Here's the really difficult choice: recap or Terminator Salvation esque digital reproduction." What if it was like a Looper where they made what's his face look like the other guy?
Why don't we just
what's his face look like the other guy?
Like,
what's that?
Just recast them with the originals and then make them all just Benjamin Button them all, you know?
Like... Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Just make them all young.
Yeah.
We're definitely getting to that point, but that would be kind of pricey, right? Mm-hmm.
Look, Disney money's no object to Disney, all right? They'll do what they have to.
Seriously, they should just turn Tomorrowland into Star Wars Land and be done with it.
Yes, that'd be amazing.
Or maybe they should just add a Star Wars Land next to Tomorrowland.
Or maybe they should just turn all of Disney into Star Wars.
Or they should just build a separate park.
That was my idea. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Scott, but once the transition actually happens, they can turn the Epcot ball into the Death Star for a year.
Yeah, but I'm so torn for that because I'm still a big fan of
just a big tarp, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I like the retro futurism of Disney, you know, so I don't want anything to go away because of this.
What if they build two new parks, right?
Okay.
And one of them Star Wars, and it's got like five different like Islands of Adventure-esque areas that are different planets. And then the other park is a reproduction of Marvel New York. And then you can go to the Marvel Park, the Star Wars Park, and the old school Disney Park.
Whoa, that'd be super fun. And they should call it Peninsulas of Excitement.
Amazing.
Oh, man. Just happened?
Uh-oh.
I'm back.
Oh, there you are. I was going to say something happened.
Hillary lost con for a second, so she missed all her awesome jokes.
I know.
So next up is Lisa Chan at El Choco 25 says Robert Downey Jr. for everyone and everything.
He's kind of already doing everything at this point, so
wouldn't he is pretty
sense.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What about you guys? You guys haven't cast anyone yet.
Scott?
I'm terrible at this. I don't really know.
I feel like I'm worse than you. I feel like I'm the worst one at this, always.
I have my list, so I'm just going to go through it.
Yeah, do it. Let's
hear it. I planned for this. So for Luke, I went with Joseph Gordon-Levitt because he can act. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he can play that young innocence turned badass, which I think is important.
Luke is not young.
He's not young?
No.
Well, he wouldn't be in this movie.
Well, yeah, well, I mean,
at the end of Return of the Jedi, he's what, like 35?
Well, I mean, I think when we posed this question, it was kind of like as if this were going to take place maybe shortly after Jedi. So
yeah. So okay. I mean, Luke's supposed to be, I think, like maybe I don't know, late 20s or 30. Yeah, 40. He wasn't 40. He just got in a car accident and had facial scarring.
Whatever. No, I have like major love for Mark Hamill. So
oh, okay. Yes. My Leia, I went for Mary Elizabeth Winstead because
of course.
For reasons.
You cast her in everything if you could. Every single movie if you could.
Yeah, of course. And my Han, I actually went with Hugh Jackman, and I actually thought about this for a while. And I think he can do roguish quite well.
I agree with that. That's a really good choice.
I could see him with the vest and the, you know, the kind of the whole snarky demeanor. I think he can pull that off pretty well. So that's who I went for.
I like that choice.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Next up on our list, we have the Zombie King, who is Genesis 01 on Twitter. And Genesis says, according to Mark Hamill, he said there will be no Han, and Luke will be a Force ghost to train the next in the Skywalker line. So that's one of the places where we got our information from. And I think Hamill actually did go on record saying that. So thanks for the heads up, Zombie
Wait,
King.
Spoil our fun, Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I know.
No, seriously.
Jeez.
Didn't he know we just asked an Aquato?
Yeah, for real. So Clockwork Angel at CAngel2012 says Nathan Fillion is Han. Cillian Murphy as Luke. Numi, how do you say this last name? Numi Rapace as Leia.
She was the girl in Prometheus.
Yes. And she was the original girl with the dragon tattoo.
That's right. Sounds pretty cool.
Foreign version.
Again, I can't get behind Nathan Fillion. Cillian Murphy, isn't he like the funny looking guy? He's like the funny looking guy, right? That's in
the funny looking guy. He's in 28 Days Later.
I think he was in that movie with Justin Timberlake too.
And he's Scarecrow.
The time.
Wait, and he was in that movie with Sigourney Weaver and Al Pacino.
No, to be honest,
Robert De Niro.
I think he could be Luke. I can see that.
He has funny face.
He's a really good actor, though.
I can get behind that. I'm on board.
Do you guys want my joke one?
Yeah, let's go for the joke one.
All right. I'm going to put the LaBeouf in as Luke.
Uh-huh.
And then for my Han, and I think this one is near perfect, Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
And I don't have anybody else. So it's just going to be the two of them hanging out all the time, and it's going to be like, all right, all right. And then he's just gonna, you know, shoot some aliens, and that'll be that.
And then he'll like brush his teeth.
My joke one was, let's see, for Luke it would be Zac Efron.
Oh no!
And then Han Solo would be Stephen Colbert.
no.
And Chewbacca could be Zach Galifianakis unshaven.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Yeah.
And Leia could be Sarah Silverman.
She was talking about her vagina the whole time.
Yeah. So maybe it should be Aubrey Plaza then as Leia. That would be my Leia.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, yeah. That's the perfect joke, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'd be good. Didn't she? No, who did? I think she did A Funnier Die as Leia, didn't she?
I don't know.
Oh, and I don't know.
Janelle Voice 10 at Darth Serenity says, not like Disney. Oh, this is a continuation.
Yeah.
Not like Disney cares what I think, but I don't think it should be done. The characters are too iconic. Hmm. Well, it's not going to be. We already had our fun ruined by Mark Hamill.
So Eric at eChap33 says, Nathan Fillion or Zachary Levi for Han Solo. Yvonne Strahovski or Anne Hathaway for Leia. Hmm. Joseph Gordon-Levitt for Luke. Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah, he's just putting Chuck into the roles of Star Wars.
Huh.
Which is good. Why not? I'll watch Yvonne Strahovski in anything.
Oh no.
Samer Darkly at Darly Sam says, for Han, of course, Nathan Fillion will accept no substitutes. It's a very common theme, but I guess
speaks to our community. Nathan Fillion love.
Yeah, not opposed to it. I'm not going to put that out there. What about Alan Tudyk instead?
For Han Solo?
Mm-hmm. Too jokey?
Yeah. He's also a ginger, so I don't know if that would ever fly.
Oh, okay.
McConaughey, guys, I'm telling you.
I'm feeling that.
He's got to be swarthy.
McConaughey.
Oh, hold on. My wife just texted me with her ideas because she's apparently creeping from the other room.
Okay.
She says that she wants, for Han Solo, she wants Channing Tatum. and she goes, am I right? With a lot of exclamation points.
Only if he does like a stripper dance.
Oh, I forgot to read the part that she's kidding. And okay. Chewbacca is Will Ferrell.
That was it? Are there any other...
Oh, wife.
And Jonathan Lax at Laxy says, do a Jeff Bridges. This is my Benjamin Button. Do a Jeff Bridges and Disney's Tron and keep the original cast. All digital, sure. All the time. Who hasn't gone in our group yet? Hillary, have you gone?
Everybody go? I already went. I couldn't name anyone but Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah, Fishface. I don't have any original ones. I don't have any good ones, real ones. I'm really not good at casting things, so...
If Anthony Daniels was unavailable to do C-3PO, Raphael Sabarge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice. Actually, okay, who's the guy who played, the English guy who played Henry VIII? He's like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Rhys-Meyers, yeah.
He'd be a good Luke.
Hmm.
Huh.
Cool.
There you go.
Wasn't he in the Tudors?
Yes. I believe.
All right.
Let's finish it up.
So last but not least is Chris Taylor, who is at Shockwaver on Twitter. And he says, well, obviously Han Solo should be replaced by a CG Hutt. Luke can be played by Owen Wilson. And Leia should be held bottom Carter. And Yoda will be played by Johnny Depp. So this
is the Tim
Burton nightmare Star Wars.
I want to see this movie.
I would freeze myself in carbonite if this movie existed.
No, seriously, I just watched Dark Shadows last night, and this is giving me like flashbacks in a bad way.
Yeah, like just Tim Burton's players are, you know,
yeah.
The late Tim Burton's players are Willy Wonka.
And you need to have like vocals in the background. Oh, oh.
Hey.
Oh yeah. Man,
his music is good. All right. Well, that's it, guys. Sweet. So, as always, you guys can catch up with us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate and on Facebook /NerdAppropriate. And thanks so much for listening and giving us answers for our Nequato. Otherwise, we would have just sat here and Ash and Hillary would have talked about Fishface and Mary Elizabeth Winstead and nothing else would have happened during the Nequato.
You mean the NerdAppropriate question of the week? You mean?
Then I'll give you NerdAppropriate Quato. How's that?
Yes, Nerd Appropriate Quato.
We'll do that.
Quato.
Let's call it the Nerd.
Those are our first t-shirts.
Oh my gosh.
So, But thanks for listening, and go to iTunes and rate us on iTunes. Anything else? Anybody got something else?
No. That's it. Thanks for tuning in, guys. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate, Facebook / NerdAppropriate, Goodreads, .nerdappropriate.com, .org, appropriate.
Wow. Oh, God.